If you're a custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hello friends and welcome to your Monday morning edition of the Kings of Anglia Ipswich Town podcast, proudly sponsored by Stardust Spirits and Molecular UK, as Rossi will tell you. Welcome friends to a big bloody week for Ipswich Town. It's only derby week, isn't it? With the small matter of a long old trip to Bristol tomorrow. And welcome to words I've not been able to say for a year and a half. Ipswich Town have just won back-to-back games and it bloody feels good. Rossi, how are you, first of all? You had the sniffles last time we talked. And of course, you were the only Ipswich Town fan in the stadium on Saturday to be celebrating when Portsmouth scored that late goal, because it meant you got it bob on again. Rostradamus is in the building.
Yeah, I'm not sad that they scored, to be honest. I will admit, I didn't celebrate, obviously, but I was like, you know, it's nice for my prediction league and all that jazz. But no. Still got the sniffles, it's still there, but it's on the back end now, ready for the derby. But you've got a bit of a sniffles. I've always sort of given it to you via a computer virus.
A computer virus? I don't think so. I've just had a sneezing fit, which I think is the reason for my sniffles. So it's not technically sniffles, Rossi.
Whoa. What? Didn't you once claim boldly that you'd never sneezed in your life and you thought that sneezing.
No, that's ridiculous. Hiccups, mate.
Apologies. I'll stand down. Yeah. I'll leave the pod.
That would be weird if I'd never sneezed. I'd be like being studied by medical science. But
I've confused a sneeze and a hiccup.
Yeah, hiccups, nonsense. Still believe that's fake in its entirety. Excuse me. Anyway, Stu, now you've trampled all over this. How are you, friend? Were you staying up last night watching the Ryder Cup like I was?
I was. I love the Ryder Cup.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
I watched a lot of it over the 3 days. It was brilliant. In the bear pit, McIlroy getting all sorts of abuse throughout the week. It's a brilliant format, isn't it? It was great. And cool, was that squeaky bum time at the end, eh?
I turned it on expecting last night that it would be done by about sort of 8:30. And when I turned on, it was just blue all down that side. Obviously, they only need a couple of points, didn't they? And then the Americans, to their credit, turned it round. We had Bryson DeChambeau fist pumping all over the place. The Americans really getting on a roll. And then, as you say, it looked like at one point that we might throw it away. But we won, and deservedly so. And also, Americans, I know we've got a lot of Americans who listen to this podcast. Can you come up with something more creative than USA, USA? It makes you sound thick. Sort it out. You agree with me there, Stu?
Yeah. Get in the hole!
Get in the hole!
And it's like a par five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Agreed, just Mark.
Come up with more creative chanting, please, America. The whole of America. I know you've got some other things to sort out at the moment, but tackle that as well, please, Mr. Trump. Anyway, friends, I've digressed there with a direct appeal to Donald Trump at the start of this podcast. Let's talk about Ipswich Town being Portsmouth, shall we, friends? Shall we start, first of all, by hearing from our Lord and Saviour, Kieran McKenna, and then we can break it down.
Yeah, I thought it was, for the most part, a good performance, good result. Really dominant in the first half on most phases, apart from a little spell where we had a couple of sloppy moments that we need to learn from. But other than that, a lot to like about the first half, really intense. Pressing was really good, worked the ball well. Scored two really good goals, could have had another one or two. Second half, again, had chances to go 3-0, didn't quite get them. Had to defend, you know, as a team against a good team, you still have to respect the opponent. And in general, thought we defended really well, to be honest. So, of course, we're frustrated not to get the third goal and for them to get the one at the end. But I didn't think it was an attitude problem. I thought the subs came on, gave us great energy off the bench again. Some of the boys playing 90 are still working up to full fitness. So that'll have a little part as well in terms of us really being able to go for the jugular in the second half. But no, some good signs in the performance, some things to improve, and we move on.
Okay, so you were very confident, uncharacteristically confident, in fact, on Friday when we spoke about this. You predicted a 3-0 win, almost got that. What did you make of this thing? Kick us off in terms of opening thoughts on this game.
Yeah, opening thoughts are, going back to the discussion about Ross getting a prediction right, is that I feel a little bit robbed on that front. This is far more of a 3-0 game than it was a 2-1. The scoreline does not reflect this match in any way, shape or form. Why is that? A couple of reasons. Ipswich weren't ruthless enough when on top in the game. That's one big reflection from the match. And then they switched off ultimately in stoppage time to concede from a corner, which was obviously just a consolation. But there was a little period in the first half as well, as Kieran McKenna's just alluded to, where concentration levels just dipped a little bit, and they were maybe fortunate that they weren't punished in that period, because the whole complexion of the game could have changed. We could have had another sort of Derby County type scenario on our hands. Thankfully, it wasn't. And look, ultimately, this was just a kind of a job done, got the win. I thought there were levels between the two sides. On to the next couple of games. But before we do that, Mark, let's
talk.
You're always going, let's not move on too quickly, Stu. Let's talk a little bit more about this. So let's
dive into that. Rossi, how was it for you?
It was fun in the first half because Town were playing some really good stuff. Obviously, Jaden Finnegy scored a lovely goal, celebrated my way again. So thank you very much, Jaden. I just felt ticking along very nicely. Second half, we'll get to very shortly, but that was sort of just a bit boring, to be honest. But it's good that we had a fast start. You know, we got that goal early on. Portsmouth, as Stu mentioned, to the build-up to the game, it's probably a good time we were playing them because they had a lot of injuries and a lot of their star players out. So we're able to sort of pounce on that. And we looked good in that first half, especially.
Yeah. And Stu, let's keep the positives rolling, because Jaden Philogene, we mentioned again, it would be lovely if he got on the score sheet, given that he's just come off the back of a hat-trick at Portman Road, get that confidence rolling. And he scored another cracker. Lovely goal. Nice early goal as well. Just what you want.
He did, yeah. He's enjoying playing at Portman Road at the minute, isn't he? Another, can we start calling it a trademark Jaden Philogene goal now?
I think we can say that.
Drifting inside from the left-hand side and bending one in via the far post. Fantastic technique, fantastic goal. Allied with that, I thought his off the ball work was excellent as well. We're now starting to see the qualities of Jaden on the ball, his trickery, his technique, his goal threat, which is a big part of why Ipswich paid the price tag they did for him. But Kieran McKenna will be big on what he's doing off the ball, his pressing. And if you remember sort of the early conversations around Amari Hutchinson, was that Kieran thought he could be world class in terms of his off the ball pressing, in terms of cutting off passing lanes and getting in defenders' faces and stopping people playing out from the back. And Jaden's got that kind of dynamism about him in the way that he can press. And I thought he showed plenty of that in this game as well. So another good step forward from Jaden Philogene. As you say, we asked, can he back it up now? Can he be consistent with it? This was a good step on that journey.
Absolutely it was. Rossi, obviously, Town did get another goal. But before that, they squandered a few chances. Now, Stu said there in his opening thoughts that they've got to be more clinical, be a bit more ruthless. And that's certainly something that they need to look at, isn't it? Given the amount of chances they had in this game before they eventually made it 2-0.
Yeah, and especially I know they were playing Sheffield United and they were not good that night, but they were ruthless against them. But, give credit to Portsmouth a little bit. Maybe they defended a bit better and their keeper was much better than Sheffield United's keeper. But on another day, one goal could win the game and we're not ruthless enough and take that chance. So luckily this game, we were able to get that second goal. But we've got players who are dangerous, and if they get in a good position, they can score. But they just need that. Especially this Sunday against Norwich. Once again, they could be, form goes out the window. But if you're not clinical against them, we've seen that before. You know, the last time we had the derby at Portman Road, if Broadhead took those chances, we would have gone and went on to that win that game maybe 4-5-0, but because we weren't clinical enough. So, I'm sure Kieran McKenna's getting that in the boys' head come on, boys, got to be more clinical on Rufus.
Yeah, Stewie, clearly a large conversation in the early part of the season has been these players need time to gel and new bunch of players learning how each other plays and that kind of stuff. But the goal when it came, the second goal, was kind of straight out of the Ipswich Town playbook with the Leif Davis cross to George Hurst. Great to see her score as well, given that he's had an up and down start to the season. But are you starting to see now, do you think, those kind of patterns that we're so used to coming in a bit more often?
Starting to. They're not anywhere near, I think, where Kieran McKenna would want them to be yet. He talked about the international break being a really good time for them to really hammer home those patterns of play. And I think we're starting to see it now. As you say, this really was a trademark Ipswich goal of modern times, really, with Leif Davis on the overlap, low cross, not a cutback this time. This one sort of dissecting the six-yard box, and Hurst couldn't miss, really, at the far post. Had to put himself there, of course. Good work by Kiusta in the build-up as well. Bit of strength, well-weighted pass. So a lovely free-flowing goal. And they needed it, really, because there'd been a little lull. I think they'd started so well. And it was almost, I could feel it even before Ipswich scored, those quality levels.
Yeah.
And then they'd had the chances. I mean, Hurst had a really good one, didn't he, at the near post that he wasn't able to take, just sort of steered it across the face from a Schmoddick's cross. Schmoddick's had one sort of saved at close quarters after Hurst had flicked the ball on. Maybe almost a little bit of complacency sort of crept in because Ipswich was so on top. And then weirdly, there was just this sort of 5-10 minute spell where they just collectively dropped concentration levels. And I think Swanson had a header at the back post where he got a run on someone and he put it too close to Palmer. Palmer had to make a really good sort of smothering save down low from Yang. So they needed that second goal. Thankfully they got it, and that gave them the 2-goal cushion.
Yeah, John Musinio, not Mourinho, highlighted that chance afterwards, actually, Stu. He said, had that opportunity been taken for Yang, that it could have been a different game. You know, obviously from difference between being 1-1 and eventually 2-0 is huge. So good stop from Alex Palmer. Let's focus on some more positives, shall we? We've talked about Jaden. We've talked about an important goal for George Hurst. I want to talk about midfield marvels, Rossi, because we talked loads over the summer in terms of that engine room revamp and how important that was going to be. Stu rightly said that's where they're going to go and spend a bunch of cash. It was really important. And we look like, again, this is, you know, whisper it quietly, but it looks like an upgrade on the beloved duo of Morsi and Luongo. Matisiwa is a destroyer. He's bulletproof. And Kiusta, I mean, he just looks levels above at times. Creator, silky smooth, nothing ruffles him. Arguably, I'd say he's actually Ipswich Town's best player.
To be honest, Howie just walks into the championship and just doesn't really, you know, burst a sweat. He's just so calm and collected and smooth. It's just so easy for him. But yeah, that's a good debate about, you know, the Massimo Luongo Sam Morsi partnership to Azor Matasiwa and Jens Kiusta, however you want to say it. I'm just allowing people to say however they want to. Just say it, obviously, correctly to an extent. Just don't do it with me with Moleklia. Was that okay?
No. No, that was wrong, mate. I actually had a message from Big Nige on Blue Sky, who wanted you to do it phonetically. Let's try this, shall we? He says it's Moleklular and not Moleklular. It's all about the U. Should we try it, Rossi? So Mo Lek
Lek
U
U
La La
La. Okay.
So Mo Lek U La.
Moleklular. No.
No, la.
La, okay. Moleklular.
Yes. That's it.
Moleklular.
What? Sorry?
Moleklular.
Yes. That's it. We'll take that. Just do it slowly until you get up to speed.
I've got a trip to Bristol on tomorrow, so I'll do that part of the trip.
I want you doing that whole way there, just really annoying, Stu and AJ. Anyway, I digressed. The midfield's well good in it, Stu.
Yes, it is looking good, isn't it, Mark? Alex and I sort of debated which of those two was our man of the match. Alex Plump for Jens. I just about tipped it the way of Azor, but I think you can make a strong argument for either, to be honest. Jens does the more kind of easy on the eye stuff, doesn't he? He's involved with both goals. He's strong. He backs into people. He's got that trademark turn spin. It's whether it's a little drag back or a flick or whatever it is. He just looks after the ball well. And I don't think we saw his attacking talents in the Premier League because Ipswich were under the cosh in games. It was just a different style of football, a survival football in the Premier League. And now I think we're seeing different parts of Jens Kuster in a team that's on the front foot and dominating the ball more and expected to win games. So that's good to see. And Azor is, for me, just sort of getting better and better by the game. He's learning the system. He's getting to grips with the pace of the Championship. But we talked about something Ipswich lacked in the Premier League was a bit of that sort of physicality. He certainly got that. Reads the game really well. He did a bit of everything in this game. He was back defending in his own box. He was making interceptions. He gets forward as well. He plays forward passes. It was his pass to Davis that led to the second goal. I really like him. I think he's looking really good value for money at the moment.
They're like yin and yang, aren't they? Creator and destroyer. Opposite forces, but work perfectly together. Now I've thought about it, so I want to talk about it. Would you say that Jens is Town's best player?
Well, that's a good question. Yeah, probably would at the moment, yeah.
I guess last season you would say Delap, but I think if you look at the Town squad now, and clearly, you know, there are new signings we've not seen a lot of yet, but I think I would say Jens is Town's best player on the face of it at the moment. He is absolutely magnificent, as is Azor. Other things to talk about in terms of players, Stu. First time we got to see Sindre Vallehi-Egeli from the start, and obviously Cedric Kiepre making his league debut as well. What did you make of those two?
Kiepre, very assured, very solid. Didn't have loads to do, but what he did, he did well. I think he's slightly different to Jacob Greaves in the way he plays. Looks after the ball well. I think I looked at the passing statistics and no one had a higher passing accuracy than him up in the sort of early 90s. So looks after the ball well. A couple of little moments where there was a header back to the goalkeeper under pressure in the second half and he had ice in his veins for that. Yeah, looking back at it, it might have been him that lost his man for the goal in stoppage time. So that's something that they'll look at. But he was solid. And now Kieran McKenna has a decision to make regarding whether Jacob Greaves walks straight back into the team on Tuesday night.
Were there any of those moments? You said there might be at least one of those when he's sort of looking through your fingers, watching a tackle, that kind of thing, as he destroys someone.
No, there wasn't really. Not that I can recall, but I suppose that's because, you know, Portsmouth had sort of the physical Colby Bishop ploughing a lone furrow up top. So it wasn't maybe that sort of game where there was a moment of pacing behind and he had to sort of make anything last ditch. No, he was, Portsmouth didn't pose a lot of threat in this game. So he'll have some tougher afternoons ahead, will Cedric Kiepre.
Okay. How about Egeli then, Rossi? First time we've seen him from the start, something we wanted to see. I don't think I'd fully appreciate just how big he is. There was a point in the game where he kind of drifted out wide to get the ball and with his blonde hair and kind of physical stature. At first, I thought it was George Hurst. And then I realised it was Egeli. He's, for a lad, he's not a wee snip of a thing. He's a bit of a unit already. So clearly he's got that physical element to his game. And there were some really nice moments. There was that lovely crossfield ball to Jens, wasn't there, which is absolutely beautiful. I think Town have shared that on their social media. But what did you make of him in terms of his whole game?
Yeah, very good. I was surprised, to be fair, to see him start. But when you've spent a championship record fee on him, you probably need to start him at some point. So, yeah, he's obviously now had full training with the boys. I'm sure he's impressed Kieran McKenna and the coaching staff in training, so he's got the opportunity. I'll just say he's a little bit eager sometimes. I think he just likes to get into there a little bit too much. But yeah, those sort of pinging the balls across, and you know, he's keen. You know, he wants to get involved, but you know, he's still very young. He's still going to have to get used to championship football, coming up against, you know, different opposition. But hot take, I'm going to put this out here right now. I don't know why. I just think he's going to have a moment in the derby. I know we're getting too far ahead of myself again because we've got Bristol.
Right.
I don't know. I think he's going to be him or someone similar. Like Casey McAteer, maybe the right wing. If Casey McAteer starts, one of them two will have a moment in the derby. They'll maybe score the winning goal. That's just my hot take early doors.
Okay. So far we've had Nunes. You said Nunes has got to start. Ageli, and then you went from Ageli to McAteer having a moment in the derby. So you're getting all your horses in a row. Yeah. And they've had some early success prediction-wise, but you can't predict the entire team to score a key goal against Norwich. Stu, what did you make of Ageli? Because clearly, you know, he's got a lot of expectation on his shoulders for a teenager. And we've seen moments of what he can do. What did you make of his debut?
Yeah, like Ross, I was surprised to see him start because I thought Kieran McKenna would want to start building some consistency into his attacking unit in the early stages of the season. But in hindsight, this was probably a good game to blood him into against a sort of injury-hit Portsmouth side, which we're going to have chance to sort of attack. It will have been with Tuesday night in mind that Casey McAteer is a quite explosive, pacey player, and maybe save his legs for a tough away game where counter-attacking football is going to be the order of the day. So, yeah, probably sensible to put Ageli in, as Ross says. When you've paid that sort of fee, you want to start getting him out there at some point. And he was, yeah, quietly encouraged. I was quietly encouraged by his performance. I would say didn't set the world alight, but he never was going to in what was his first start in English football as a 19-year-old. But there were bits and pieces where you went, yeah, you can see why he's so highly rated, whether it just be a little touch here and there, like you say, that pass. There were some little inventive moments where he sort of tried things that other players wouldn't necessarily see or attempt. There was a little kind of flicked pass up the line that sort of sticks in my mind. He had that shot early in the second half that deflected onto the roof of the net. Still learning, as Ross says, a bit eager at times. I think he gave away three or four fouls in this game where he was just kind of jumping all over the back of players' heels when the ball wasn't really there to be won. But I like that. It's enthusiasm. It's adrenaline. So excited to see more of him.
We're all eager, though, weren't we, when we're 19? I'd certainly be eager if I was worth 17.5 million playing in the Championship. I reckon I'd be a bit eager. We know that right wing role is very tailored and specific in terms of what McKenna wants from it, Stewie. He wants physicality, he wants directness, he wants balls hammered into the box. Do you think Ageli is that sort of player, or do you think that is going to have to kind of change if that is indeed where he ends up playing?
No, I don't think he is that sort of player. He's not going to play it in the Wes Burns, Casey McAteer style. He is more of a, I think his natural instinct is to come inside and play as a 10. And if you watched him sort of off the ball at times, I saw him sort of very central at moments. I think ultimately that's where he wants to end up. And yeah, it's probably a bit like Amari Hutchinson, that sort of long term he'll end up as a more central player. But as a young player, quite often you kind of get your first steps in football get made as a wide man, and that looks to be the case. Are Ipswich kind of getting away from that way of playing with the right winger because of Leif Davis's role being now slightly different and the left side being slightly different with a Philogene / Clark? Maybe. It's good that they've got some different strings to their bow now, that it's not so obvious that, you know, week after week, you know, Leif Davis is always on the overlap. You know that the right winger always stays high and right. It's good to have a bit of consistency and, you know, patterns of play baked into your side, but it's also good to have a bit of variety and keep the opposition guessing. So Ageli gives them certainly some different attributes.
Yeah. Now, another thing I want to talk about, and she set me up perfectly there when he talks about having different attributes and variety, is there was a very sexy line in Stu's observations when it came to players coming off the bench. Now, in the not too distant past, we've lamented, certainly in the Premier League teams bringing like a £60 million striker off the bench. And even in the Championship season, you know, so-and-so Leeds bringing players off the bench that are worth millions. In this game, Ipswich Town brought players off the bench worth £34 million. That feels good, doesn't it, Rossi?
Yeah, it does indeed. Especially one of them is Katie McAteer, who was a bit of a head-scratcher when we signed him. Like, do we really need him? But yeah, and especially there's four in one go. When you sort of look up and you just see all four coming on at once, it's like, bloody hell, like Portsmouth players must go, oh no, I'm bloody knackered. And now I've got these bloody boys running at me. And you've got Ivan Azan, who's just bloody unit,
yeah,
coming up against him. He's another player that's got a moment at Derby. I mean, anyway. but yeah, just it's great to have that depth. And that's how we got out of the Championship before with the super subs.
Yeah, Stu, I think I'm a bit in love with Ivan Azan. I really want him to score. He came close in this game. Obviously, he hit the post. I love the way he plays. All action, all energy, bustle, bit of a tank. Obviously, he's Spanish. And now, having been to Spain, I feel part Spanish. My brother. I really want him to score. And I think I'm a bit in love with him. And likewise, I was interested. What you mentioned about Jack Clark as well, in terms of easy for him to sulk, given that Philogene's kind of starring ahead of him, but we haven't seen his head drop.
Yeah, so a quadruple sub in the second half, and they needed it. I thought it sort of, as we've touched upon, the second half was drifting a bit. Ipswich were in control. Is it because some players are not fully up to speed after limited pre-seasons? Possibly. Is it because Bristol Norwich is then starting to come into minds a little bit. Bit of complacency, don't know. But it did dip on and off the pitch in that second half. And then we see those four players come on. By the way, Chuba Akpom, former Golden Boot winner, he's just left unused. That's something that Ipswich can do. On the players come, let's start with Ivan Azan. There is something about certain players. What makes a fan's favourite? And it's not just the style of play, it's the personality, the fact that he's got his hands, he's got his one hand lucky, sort of wrapped hand, as well, yeah. Gives him a little sort of trademark visual, doesn't it? I mean, he charged down a centre half within seconds. Certainly puts himself about, doesn't he? The fact that he's Spanish and there's the Pablo Cunhago kind of thing from years ago as well, all kind of adds to that. So he was good. Shame that he couldn't score when he struck that one against the post and would have made it 3-0 for my prediction.
Yeah.
but Jack Clark is the one I really, really want to highlight here, because Jack Clark could quite easily not be having a soul cup, because I don't think anyone goes out of their way to have a soul cup, but through human nature, just be feeling a little bit sorry for themselves, to have their ego, their confidence knocked a little bit after... You know, a difficult Premier League campaign for him, where he was kind of in and out, and Szmodics was sort of largely ahead of him, and he talked about not coming from being the star man at Sunderland, where it was give the ball to Jack Clark and see what he can do, to coming to being a kind of a team player at Ipswich, where he was having to learn this kind of new tucked in role with Davis, sort of getting out of the way of Davis. Then Philogene suddenly comes alive at the start of this season and makes that spot his own. He could have come on at 2-0 up and sort of just, you know, strolled about and seen the game out. But he came on and ran around like a blue-ass fly. He was flying into tackles. Not seen that from Jack Clark before, the off-the-ball stuff. Tackles, hustling people off the ball. Love that. And I think Kieran McKenna is going to really hold him up as the poster boy for squad culture, you know, and they had it before in the promotions with people like Caden Jackson. I think was always held up as the epitome of, you know, keep working hard, keep driving your teammates on every day in training, be ready for your chances, make that difference off the bench. Those are the things that make the difference over the course of a 47 game season now for Ipswich with the Blackburn game. So I think that was one of my favourite parts of this game, Jack Clark's performance off the bench. 2-2 off the bench before today as well.
Yeah, £34 million off the bench. That sounds good. Right then, one of the other positives we've already discussed, George Hurst getting a goal. He's quietly got, what's he got, three now, I think? Is it three in the league? Decent return.
Yep.
The new look, George Hurst. Let's hear from him, shall we? This is a 2:10 clip, Rossi. When we return, I want you just to remind everyone exactly who our new sponsor are.
George, how good was that to belatedly build on Sheffield United?
Yeah, massive. You know, we always enjoy playing at home, and I think it's a place that we want to make a fortress as much as we can. So, yeah, to go out there and get another win, you know, first 3 o'clock kickoff at home, I think it was. So, yeah, always nice to go out there and get the win.
Particularly good in that first half.
Yeah, very good. You know, I think we came out of the blocks straight away. They probably had, you know, sort of 10 minutes midway through the half where they gained a little bit more traction. But I think we saw it out pretty well. And, you know, then I get the goal and go 2-0 up at half-time is massive. And just by coming out second half and sort of keeping it solid and working as hard as we had worked first half. And I think we did that.
Your third of the season. Happy enough with that mid-September?
Yeah, for sure. You know, more the merrier. I'd probably sit here and say I should have scored more, could have scored more. But, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully keep ticking along and keep getting goals as and when they come.
How are you feeling about your game at the moment?
Yeah, it wasn't my best game today. I think there's a few bits that I was a little bit sloppy on, and you know, a few bits I'd like to clean up on. But you know, it's just work on training ground. It's, you know, nice to get the goal regardless of all that. If I can have a bad game and come off with a goal, then you know, hopefully when I do play well, it's, you know, it's a good sign. So
yeah, I have to ask to finish. In terms of being a striker, you're so distinguishable and have been with having the blonde hair, which we've seen for so long as well before that. You've gone different look today. What was the thinking behind the new look?
I was sat home a couple of days ago. My partner, she's away working at the minute, and just thought I wanted to shave it off, to be honest. So yeah, I texted her asking if she'd got any sort of, you know, didn't want me to do it. She wasn't convinced. I did it anyway, and yeah, so we'll see when she comes back tomorrow what she really thinks of it.
I feel weird heading the ball. I feel like it must be really different when you've got a different hair colour.
It took a bit to get used to. I woke up this morning, you know, after getting my hair cut yesterday, and completely forgot I'd had it done, to be honest. So it was a bit of a shock when I looked in the mirror this morning. But it's only a haircut, and it'll grow back or it won't. It is what it is. So
you happy with it though?
Yeah, definitely scored today, so I can't complain.
From one lovely accent, the Yorkshire lilt of George Hurst, to another, the Suffolk twang of Rossi. Just remind us, Rossi, who's our new sponsor?
Mo Let You La.
Yes, get in, Rossi. But I think we're there. I think we've got it, you know. Stewie, what did you make of George Hurst's new haircut?
Well, I think we might have reached peak football player quote there with it will grow back or it won't. It is what it is.
Yeah.
I don't think that will ever be bettered.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know who it was, but there's someone that's pointed out that he now bears a passing resemblance to the kid off Toy Story, whose name I can't remember.
Sid, yeah.
Sid, that's it. I mean, he really does.
That's a good shout.
Yeah, I'm not sure that I preferred blonde George, I think. But hey, if he shaves his head and he scores, he's going to have to keep doing it, isn't he? I think there was actually some further quotes on that topic saying that if he keeps scoring, he's going to have to keep shaving his head. So let's see, shall we?
The opposite of that guy on the internet who's not cutting his hair.
The Man United fan.
Man United get 5 wins, yeah.
Yeah, he's going to be waiting a long time, I think. Man United, what a basket case of a club, and where careers go to die. Things really have changed. Right then, let's wrap up this game in, Stu, with a couple of not negatives, but things that maybe Tam will look at. One is not a negative at all, in that you rightly say it's exciting that there's still so much room for improvement. And the other one is something they'll definitely be looking at, because it's a strange one, isn't it? Defensively, they generally look solid, really solid. I mean, their stats are, I think, second XG against in the league, something like that, I remember you saying. And watching them, you think, oh, wow, yeah, you know, O'Shea's so class, isn't he? Or, you know, Greaves with everything in the air, or in this game, Kipre, yeah, so assured. And yet they have, so far this season, they've had a knack for just these lapses and been able to be cut through by direct play. And that's definitely something they need to cut out.
Let me turn negatives into positives then, because in terms of not being ruthless enough and not taking chances, it's always better to have that than not creating chances.
Yeah.
You're in a good spot. If it's just a case of that final finishing, that final pass, that final bit, that can come. The greater worry is always when you don't look like scoring. Ipswich have scored goals and they could have scored a hell of a lot more, as George Hurst, and can be fixed easier than kind of having to create, full stop. And it's the same with the defensive side of things. These are moments, these are lapses in concentrations, these are incidents that have kind of happened out of the context of football matches. And we've talked about it, the goals against have been, you know, the Preston penalty is where Greaves gets in a bit of a muddle. The Derby goals are kind of direct balls into the box that have not, or direct balls, straight balls forwards that haven't been dealt with. Again, this one's a kind of a corner at the end, at the weekend. But it's not like Ipswich are being carved open for long periods in games. I think they've looked pretty rock solid. A man of the match out, I thought, for me at the weekend. I thought he was excellent. So hopefully these are small issues that, yes, need to be addressed, but they're not kind of a big worrying underlying issues for the weeks and months ahead. That's how I look at it.
Yeah, good stuff. But before we move on from this one, I'm still talking about the trip to Bristol, Rossi. Ipswich Town men's team beat Portsmouth this weekend, and so did Ipswich Town women's team. And in this case, it was a historic victory because it's the first time they've ever won a game at WSL2 level. 3-2. A bit of controversy as well thrown in. You were there yesterday with Tom. Report reaction or online now. Just tell us a little bit about this.
Before yeah, Pompey double, which doesn't happen that often. You know, two teams winning against the same opposition on back-to-back games on the weekend. There will be a Track the Girls Talk podcast, so tune into that when that goes live. But yeah, Portsmouth for an old foe from the third tier, so it was nice sort of taking on them in the second tier, and it was a very entertaining game down at Colchester. Town took the lead in good fashion by Rhianna Dean with a nice little header. Then Portsmouth equalised with a good strike. And then, yeah, second half, the referee lost his mind. He was just everywhere. He was booking everybody. He was just getting decisions wrong. Basically, the goal of Town scored to equalise because Portsmouth scored, and basically in about a minute, Town equalised. The ball went, well, basically, so Pescott crossed it, but it was basically already over the line when she crossed it. But the referee didn't blow his whistle until Natasha Thomas headed that cross into the net. So it's an interesting one because, yeah, obviously Portsmouth not very happy, but Town maybe got away with it a little bit, but he didn't blow the whistle until the ball was over the line. So it's an interesting one to... What's your point on that? Because, yeah, it's the ball's over the line.
Well, I didn't see it. I mean, I read in Tom's report said essentially Sophie got fouled as she crossed the ball, and then Natasha headed it home, trademark.
Yeah.
Natasha Thomas finished. But Portsmouth said the ref had blown the whistle and they'd stopped playing. So that obviously wasn't what happened as you saw it.
No, well, I was on the other side of the pitch, he blew the whistle and there's actually like a screen grab. He blew, so yeah, Portsmouth players, I thought it was a bit of a mess, but Town don't care because they went on to win the game because they got a penalty, which was definitely a penalty. Not so Pescott being fouled, and then Paige Peake scoring the winning goal. Portsmouth had chances though to potentially score an equaliser, but thankfully not. Historic win and Q celebrations. Joe Shear went mental, which is great going for it. And historic first 3 points. And it's a pretty good week for the Track the Girls because they drew last weekend 0-0 against Cholton, who are a really good team at this level, got a good 0-0 draw there, which was an historic point. Lost against 5-1 against Leicester, who are a Super League team, ignore that game midweek, but beating Portsmouth, who are going to be at 4 points on the board. And do you know what? In this division, you don't actually have to get many points. Last year, I think it was Sheffield United who technically got relegated, but they stayed up because of Blackburn pulling out. I won't get into that. But they only got, I think, 7 or 8 points. So we've got 4 points already.
They've obviously adapted pretty quickly, Rossi, because that, you know, they got spanked, didn't they, first game? And you start to think, oh, maybe this is going to be a step too far for them. But they seem to have adapted well. And as you say, they got a point against Charlton and then get their first win. So it looks like they are going to be able to sort of hang in this league.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's just some players just needed time. And there's still a young squad as well. And there's a few changes Joe Shear made. So yeah, it's still not going to be easy. It's going to be some harder games to come. We've got Sheffield United, actually. The girls are full focus on that game, but I'm sure they're a bit disappointed. They're going to miss out on sort of watching the men play in the derby. But yeah, it's going to be... Yeah, they've got some tougher games to come, as I said. But I have belief in this team. I think they've got some good players to really...
Excellent. Right then, that's good stuff. So double win for Town this weekend. Stewie, I can't remember the last time Town won 3 games in a row. Bloody years ago. Certainly in that Championship season. And they've got to have a chance to do that tomorrow at Bristol City. Long old trip to Bristol. Probably not ideal, given it's Derby week. Or maybe it is, because it gives them something else to think about. How do you feel about this one? Because Bristol City, obviously, last season, playoffs, fourth this season. Last couple of games have been a bit of a struggle. They lost at home last time they played at home to Oxford. 0-0 at Preston at the weekend. Some very dangerous players, including one we're very familiar with. How are you feeling about this one?
Yeah, this is a real step up in quality from Portsmouth. Bristol City, as you say, finished sixth last season, got smashed by Sheffield United over two legs in the playoffs, but have got off to this season really won the beat Hull 4-2. They went to Sheffield Wednesday and won 3-0 in a really one-sided game there. And their attacking trio in particular is really catching the eye. I think Emil Rees Jacobson from Preston is a really good sort of Bosman free transfer pickup. And then he's got sort of two number 10s in support of him in Scott Twine, who has done well against Ipswich in the past. Of course, down in League One for various clubs, and Anis Mehmeti as well, someone that's long been on the lips of people and talk about him sort of moving up at some stage. So both of them can certainly have got. So yeah, away from home, I think these sort of games probably separate the men from the boys over the course of a season. Of course, the home form we talked a lot about, you know, is going to be the cornerstone to success, and Ipswich needed to get that back. But when I look back at that Championship season, it was the ability to go to, you know, it was a midweek game at Bristol before, wasn't it? I think it was Wednesday night, head goal. Yeah. Those are the sort of games that when you look back over the course of a season, I think are the ones that really separate the elite from the rest. Can Ipswich go and do it? Is it too early in this kind of new group's journey to be able to go and get a result like that? Let's find out.
Absolutely. Rossi, we just can't let Scott Twine shoot from anywhere, especially not from range. And Mehmeti, I think this is correct. I read it before the weekend. I assume it's still up there if he's not still the main man. The most goal contributions in the Championship so far this season, 4 goals, 2 assists. So clearly.
It's just a typical Championship affair. I feel like Bristol City, they've always just been that Championship team, and we've played every time we're in the Championship, they're just there, and we play them. And yeah, I have a feeling it is going to be just a one goal game. I think 1-0 is probably going to be a scoreline. That's my prediction early doors, just to get that in there. Maybe similar to the time we played them, you know, with the Nathan Broadhead goal, as Stuart Watson said. I don't know why I went full name there. But yeah,
nice.
Yeah, that's how I went. But they're obviously an interesting case, because obviously Liam Manning went to them up the road, and they brought in this Austrian. German guy. Is he German? German, isn't he? My bad. And you thought, oh, they're going to be in trouble because you know, he's not really done it before. He was at Barnsley prior, wasn't he? But you think, oh, they're going to not do as good. But they've started the season very well. So, yeah, it's going to be a tough game. But as Stu said, we looked for a 47 championship to get a good result. So it's going to be a tough one. But I'll back them, boys.
You just got stuck on presenter hype mode there, didn't you? Stuart Watson, 47! Stuart Watson of rotation, but this is a tough game. It's not like they're going somewhere they're expected just to stroll through whoever they put on the pitch. And you'd expect, you'd think anyway, that players who play in this game or start in this game may not necessarily then start on Sunday. So are we going to see the likes of Nunez and Azon and those kind of players, do you think? How would you look to change things?
Norwich will come into the thinking. I think Kieran McKenna will have had a rough plan in mind going into this week as a whole. That will be part of the reason that he made, you know, started the likes of Ageli and Schmodics on Saturday with this game in mind, and he'll pick his team. I don't think Norwich will come massively into his thinking. It's a Sunday game against Norwich, so you get this is the best possible team to take on Bristol City. This is arguably the toughest test of the week in terms of opposition, because I think Bristol are in a better place than Norwich at the moment. It's going to be an intense game of football. If you look at some of the quotes from Gerard Struber, he talked about after the 4-2 win against Hull that I mentioned, he said, this is the football that I love, diagonal, stressful football. So we've talked about the attacking talents that they have. They're very good in transition. They're very fast on the counter. So it's going to be quite an entertaining, exciting end-to-end game of football, hopefully. Is this sort of more open game of football, one that suits Ipswich better, hopefully, rather than kind of the frustrations we've seen against spoilers and low blockers in the recent past? So, there'll be some changes to the team. I think McAteer is one that definitely will come back in terms of, you know, his can you see some alterations?
I've been on.
No, I think Hurst again. Who's the defence.
How about Nunez for Clay on Sunday? Or is that the way McKenna thinks? If you say this is actually a tougher game, do you want Houston for this one?
Well, that's why I thought that Nunez might have started the Portsmouth game and then Houston might have come in for this one. I'd be surprised if Kiusta starts all three of these games, Portsmouth, Bristol and Norwich. But we've just waxed lyrical about the midfield partnership, and this is I really don't know which way that will go in midfield. I'll plump with Nunez just because I think they won't want to take any risks. We've talked about Kuster arguably probably being Ipswich's best, purest football player at the moment. There's no point taking any risks, is there, with his injury, with his fitness going again?
I know this is obviously thinking with an emotional head on, and it's the derby, and we've got to win the derby finally, and we want all the best players playing on Sunday. But I genuinely do want Hughes to start against Norwich. I do think he's Town's best player, and I think he should be playing in that game, which is the biggest game. I know this is potentially the hardest game. So for that reason, I would start Nunez tomorrow. And I wouldn't start Nunez against Norwich. That's controversial, perhaps. But for me, he has the potential to be a tremendous impact player off the bench against Norwich. It's likely to be a tight game. You know, he's going to be. That would give Town an extra lift, should they need it, on Sunday. And everything that he brings. Ross, are there any changes you'd be looking at making in this game? You got any thoughts on what we've already discussed? I guess the other one would be potentially, how do you drop Jaden Philogene, though? He's red hot. I don't know if you can do that for this game, but obviously Jack Clarke is an option there.
Yeah, it's just interesting. It just depends if there's any little knocks we don't know about, you know, on Saturday, because Portsmouth, it was, you know, a physical game in parts. So it just feels like it depends if players are ready to do that Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday out of the three Bristol City. So it just depends on if he wants to play this player instead of that one. Like Cedric Kipre, Jacob Greaves is interesting.
Stop sitting on the fence, Rossi. Tell me what you think.
I know, but
what would you do if you were McKenna? Who would you rest? Would you rest anyone? Would you switch people out? What would you do?
I think he's fine with his knee. I think he's fine until he's cropped.
Ah, this just did.
Yeah, he's fine. I think he's over that. He's over that now. People say, yeah, he can't do Saturday, Tuesday, Sunday, but. No, you know, he's an athlete. And maybe that's better for him if he just keeps playing. Because if he has one little stop...
I mean, there is actually, that, as mental as you just proclaiming him fine is, that there is actually an argument that it might actually be better for him just to keep playing.
Yeah.
There's such a high level of conditioning that any kind of drop-off maybe is going to see injuries happen. It's hard to drop players when they're in form, but there is certainly an argument around it for this game. I'll get you out of this hole then, Rossi. Give us your prediction. You've already given it us. You're leading the way, I think, by a couple of points now. So you've already shown your hand in this regard. What do you reckon?
Yeah, well, I'll do my prediction. I'm going to quickly find the graphic so I can say it fully, just to gloat as much as I can until I lose my lead eventually at some point this season. But yeah, I'm going to go 1-0. I think that's just an easy scoreline, but I'll be happy with that. Away from home, I'm a bit annoyed. We're not getting a clean sheet against Portsmouth. 1-0, yeah. First goal scorer. Let's go for Sam Smodics, because that's what they say on their team sheet now. Sammy, I think they've just scrapped that away now. Sam Smodics, the first goal scorer.
Smodics 1-0. What are you going to say, Watto?
There's been a few comments, feet. We will at some stage when it's appropriate, and I think I'm toying with it for this game because I just think there's the Norwich game on the horizon. I just think it's a really tough game that Ipswich are still, as we've talked on, are still working on a lot of things. I can't quite bring myself to do it, though, because I like a lot of what I'm seeing from this team at the moment. So I'll plump with the draw, and I'll say it's a boring one, and I'll say 1-1.
Bastard. That's what I was going to say. 1-1. Who's going to score to you?
George Hurst.
George Hurst. I also think it's going to be a draw. I'm going to save my prediction of a defeat for Sunday. that the record shows. I don't think it's going to be 2-2. And equally, I can't see it being 0-0. So I'm afraid I'm going to have to go with 1-1 as well. And I'm going to say Jaden Philogene, just because he's on fire. And that would be nice. Three straight games, three straight goals. Or scoring three straight games. So we've got a 1-0 from Rossi, the Sam Smodics, and then we've got 1-1s from both me and Stu. Stu saying George Hurst, me saying Jaden Philogene. We'll obviously find out from AJ what he thinks is going to happen. And if you do see
AJ as we speak, he's gone 2-2,
okay,
but he's gone George Hurst. And I think we've got to make a rule. There's got to be a different first-time goal scorer. We can't have the same, because I remember Stu mentioning this. So I'll have to say to him.
Is that...
I just said it. We were having a conversation. I said, wouldn't it be fun if we had it on rotation and that each week someone gets the first pick, we go in the same order and everyone has to be different, just liven it up. Changing the rules mid-season.
Are you saying I'm not allowed one against you in that term? Okay.
No, because... rotate. So some weeks you're going to get to go first, some weeks you're going to end up last.
Okay.
What do you think about that?
Fine by me.
Starting for Norwich.
Yes, absolutely. All right, let's do it. As I was saying, if you do see AJ, don't whatever you do, because he doesn't take these things very seriously at all. Don't mention to him that he's bottom of the prediction league thus far, and clearly thus knows nothing about football, because he's not bothered. He doesn't bother. You know, fine, takes he can take it or leave it. Not bothered. Doesn't take it seriously at all. Have you got the actual scores, Rossi?
So, because no one got the first goal scorer today last week.
No.
Everyone got the scoreline though, didn't they? Everyone got the win, but they didn't get
the... We all got the win, but you got the result bob on.
So it is 9 points for me. You're on 5 points, Mr. Heath. Dylan Watson is on 4 points, as well as AJ, Alex Jones. So it's actually AJ and Stu who are
yeah,
bottom.
But for fun, it's AJ. He's dead bottom. You jumped up to 9 points. How have you done that?
Because I got, because I was on five already, and of course I got four. Correct score, 3 points. Correct result, 1 point.
Okay.
Four.
I see. All right, fair enough. Ross is opening up an early lead. Boys, there's something else I want to mention before we exit this pod. And I know it's early, and January's a long way off, but I think there's a man that town needs to be looking at in January. It's a man that's been brought to my attention a lot this weekend by people sending messages. And it's Drizzy, who's absolutely on fire. 8 goals in 7 games. Scored in his last 6 games. 6 games straight. I could see this eye. I'm always right eventually. There's a player in there. He's absolutely ripping up the league, Stewie. We've got to bring him back to Portman Road.
Yeah, agreed.
Yes.
What more can I say? I mean, you're just a visionary. You saw
it. I am
long
a visionary.
Before
absolutely
anyone else saw it. Back to when he was, business in pre-season for Ipswich Town in League One.
Wildly good, yeah.
Yeah, at a time where strikers were at a premium. And you saw it. And you said to me, there will come a time in probably 5 years' time where Ipswich have gone all the way through to the Prem. They'll have come back down. There'll be, there'll be some question marks as to... They'll have two pretty good strikers for the level, sure.
Yeah.
But there will be a time when this reunion has to happen. And you told me all of that.
I remember saying that.
I think probably in the middle of COVID, I reckon it was around that. That's right. The real winner of the Predictions League.
It's me again. Me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to sting. They probably have to spend $25 million to bring him back. But should have listened to me. I mean, when he scored that penalty against Colchester in pre-season, I knew then there was a star in the making, Rossi. People laughed, sure. And I still think I've got the only Aaron Dryden shirt in existence hanging on my wall, signed. The wrong side, by the way. So I can't have the signed side on the front. Anyway, Rossi, do you agree?
Yeah, he also plays for a town at the moment, so it's a quick sort of transition.
Exactly.
Plays for Swindon, just come back to Ipswich. I'm sure Town have got a clause in his contract. Although, did he? Yeah, he did go to Swindon. No, he went Lane Orient, so actually that's probably gone now. But bring back the A-train, Adrizzy.
Exactly. And if you were one of the many people who tagged me on Twitter or sent me direct messages on Instagram, or indeed mentioned me on Blue Sky, it is nice to know that the long-running, probably the longest-running in-joke in this pod is still going strong. People still looking at Aaron Dryden thinking about me. Fantastic. Friends, before we go, we have to throw forward to something we're doing on Friday night ahead of the derby. It will be our first live pod of the season. We're going to do these every now and then, and this obviously is the perfect first juncture to do that. 7 o'clock on Friday night, we're going to be live on various platforms, YouTube, Facebook. Can we go live on Twitter, Rossi? Can we do that through you?
If I was verified, but I've got no, I don't need to do that on X anymore. So yeah, it'll just be on Facebook and the YouTubes.
Excellent. Well, that's enough because we're massive on both. So we'll be live on here discussing the derby. We'll hopefully hear from our friends down the road, get a bit of insight into how things are going down there, because get the feeling already it's not very happy down the road. And of course, massive game to build up to. So that'll be 7 o'clock on Friday. Anything else from you boys to mention before we go?
No other business. No, we'll post the various links to the live stuff on our socials and whatnot, so you won't be able to miss that. Look forward to doing some interactive stuff with all the listeners, because we've been doing stuff live from the press box before the games. I don't know if anyone has seen that or joined it, but that's been nice. So Norwich coming up, but as Kieran McKenna will say, there's business to deal with first at Bristol.
It's just a game, Stu. It's just a game. Derby's just another game. Just got to be at our best. And that's the key. The key is ours, the culture. That's what builds success. Very much like this podcast, actually, the culture that we've built. Friend, just a reminder then, support our sponsors. Use the code KOA at stardustspirits.co.uk for 20% off all the excellent alcoholic beverages. Obviously, Town are going to beat Norwich on Sunday, so you need to get your order in now. Something to celebrate with from Stardust Spirits. I'd recommend the Cascade Rum and the Single Malt. You know, the Biscoff vodka is multi award-winning, World Drinks Award-winning, in fact. And our other sponsor, as we know now, Rossi, you've got no problems in saying it at all. So just remind us who it is.
Molet Ula.
Yes, mate. I think we've really cracked it now. Molecular UK, they are obviously based in Leyton. They produce all sorts of cleaning products for your car and other things. They are a tremendous business to get behind. So go online. It's www.molecular-uk.com. Use the code KOA10 to get 10% off everything they've got on their website. Really great to have two local firms supporting this podcast. And also leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, just because it helps lift us visibility wise in the charts, helps more people find us ahead of what is a big week for Ipswich Town. I think that's pretty much it. It's Bristol. So you want to say something? No.
Okay. If you honestly want what's going through my mind, then I haven't heard someone read out a website with www. At the start for quite some time. I think we're all past that stage now. I think we're all aware that it's there,
I don't know if you know, boys, there's this thing called the internet. It's mad. You can find anything on there.
https://.
I'm so old. I also want to, also, when we're talking about people contacting me, thanks for the people who contacted me in support of me knocking old people out of the way to get the baggage carousel first at the airport. People saying that's not weird at all. That's exactly what should be happening for a responsible adult like myself. So thanks for that support. Thanks also for the drizzy stuff. Right then, friends, let's go, shall we? We're building up to Bristol tomorrow. Various things to do before that. The boys will obviously be there. Follow it with us if you can't go. If you are going, enjoy it. And then we're going to be back later on this week, friends, on Friday night, live, 7 p.m. to build up to the big one. Ipswich Town v Norwich City at Portman Road. Surely this is going to be the one. Have a great start to your week, and we will speak to you on Friday.
Custodial supervisor at a local high school, you know that cleanliness is key and that the best place to get cleaning supplies is from Grainger. Grainger helps you stay fully stocked on the products you trust, from paper towels and disinfectants to floor scrubbers. Plus, you can rely on Grainger for easy reordering, so you never run out of what you need. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.